A friend of mine, we just went from city, not city, but from one area of the city to the other. And some of the things that we saw, it was really heartbreaking to see that people live the way they do. And in that particular area where we're going, now this is not a slam against this any church in that area, but where we're going and we're setting up and the school's letting us use their auditorium, its auditorium seats about 1,000, and there is, was it 15 mega churches right in that area, 15 mega churches right in that area where all of this is going on. So, you know, you can have church inside, but it's time to take it outside. And so I want you to pray for us this Saturday, that as we go and we do this great event, you know, that we will be able to touch the hearts and lives of people that don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. Amen? Well, let's just pray and ask God's blessings here on the service here this evening. Father, I thank you for the privilege and for the opportunity that I have, Lord, to stand in front of this audience and the people that's viewing with us by the internet. Speak words of life. Let them be words of comfort. Let them be words of encouragement. And I ask for your anointing to flow. As Pastor Bob has prayed, God, that there would be supernatural recall to say the words that will be fitting for the individual that needs that word, that the Holy Ghost oil will just flow from me to them, from you to me, them, right on, Holy Ghost. I pray, Lord, that this will not be just a service, not just a sermon, not just a time we meet together or a time people watch on their device, but, Father, that it'll be a time that you'll speak to hearts and encourage them and motivate them. They'll be motivated to walk by faith. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, I'll tell you, I've been serving the Lord a long time, over 50 years, and it doesn't get old. The walk with God gets better every day. Some people, they say, well, I've been a Christian a long time. I've been there and done that. Well, I never have that attitude. I just know that every day I need the new mercies of God just to take me through. And the old song we used to sing, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. That's true with me. And so I want to talk about something tonight. And actually, it's been on my heart all week long. And so it's something that's just turning over in me. I'm not done with it, but it's turning over in me. And I hope that as I turn this over tonight with words, it'll minister to you. And I want to talk about, you know, I was in a place the other day and it just hit me. This thought, how do we walk through trials? How do we handle trials? Pastor Bob was how to not be caught in offense or something to that nature. Pastor Bob said he was preaching about this morning, so I'm going to talk about overcoming trials. Because every Christian has trials, and we will as long as we live on the face of this earth. There's no problem, no question about it. As long as you live, you're never going to get to the place that you won't have trials. But one thing I want to be clear about tonight, God doesn't send us trials. God is not the one that's sending the trials, but he does allow them to come to us because Satan is in this world and he's the god of this world. You understand that? He's the god of this world. And see, many Christians don't know just what I said. What I said right there, many Christians don't have enough root in them, enough foundation in them to know what I said. And see, in the garden, when Adam and Eve sinned, well, but before they sinned, God told Adam, he said, I've given you dominion over the earth. I've given you dominion over all the things that are creeping in the earth. And he said, the authority is yours. Just use it. And so when Adam and Eve sinned, they lost that authority and gave it over to Satan. So the Bible says that when it rains on the just and the unjust alike. So I just want you to know that you're going to have trials, but it's not God. So don't get mad at God when one comes. I hear some people say, well, you know, I'm going through this trial and I've just been feeling so bad and people just treat me bad, and that may be, but, you know, they say God doesn't love me and nobody loves me. Well, I want to tell you, God loves you whether you love him or not, and regardless of what you say, God still loves you. Your mouth may be saying all kinds of things that's not right, but I want to tell you, God loves you anyway. Everybody just say, God loves me. You know, and that's a great comfort to me to know that God loves me. But you know, when Adam and Eve turned their authority over to the devil, that's why we are going through trials. But now, let me be clear about something. God does not tempt us. There's a difference in temptation and trials. Let me just turn over and read James chapter 1. And I want to show you in James chapter 1 and verse 12 and 13. And it said, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for he has been provided, proved. He will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now, let no one say when he's tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted. Now, when is he tempted? Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. So God does not tempt us. It's the devil that comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. He's the one to come and entice you away from God. And that's why it's important that we come to gatherings in the house of God to hear the word of God. You know, sometimes when I get up and preach, I talk about the necessity of coming regular. And if somebody happens to be there that hadn't been in 2 or 3 weeks, I try not to say it in a way that it sounds insulting to them, that I'm trying to insult them because they hadn't been to church in 3 weeks. That'd be dumb to get up and do something like that. But what I am really trying to encourage people to do is to realize when you come into the house of God where there's fellowship, where there's the anointing, where there is the power of God being manifested, it strengthens you and encourages you so that when you go out away from the anointing and you go out away from believers, you have a deposit on the inside of you. You've had an impartation of the Holy Ghost. The anointing of God has touched you. So when you go out, you can tell the devil when things begins to come against you and when he begins to send things your way, you can just say, I have no part with this. I'm an heir of God, a joint heir of Jesus Christ. I'm standing on what I know and who I believe, and I'm not going to give in, feel bad, get discouraged, give up, have a pity party and feel sorry for myself, but I'm going to stand up and give glory to God right in the midst of my worst day. You know, we had Terry McCallum at our service the other day, and he was talking about his grandson, and his grandson was on the trampoline. He's telling a little story there, and I think he was 4 years old, and he said, Papa, this was the worstest day of my life. Well, when you're in the worstest day of your life, you don't have to quit. You don't have to get up. You don't have to give up and get worried when you're having the worstest day of your life. I kind of like that. I know it's not good grammar, but I think I'll keep it. The worstest day of your life, you can put the devil on the run instead of him putting you on the run. You know what? Through Jesus Christ, we regained our authority over the devil. And see, here's one of the problems. I'm going to go somewhere with this in just a minute, so give me a moment here to sort of get ready. There's many Christians today. Why do people give up? Why do people quit coming to church? Why do people get weary? Why? When the trials come, is because they don't know their authority. They don't know what they've been given. Now, many of you come regularly and you're in church all the time, but that doesn't stop the fact that you still don't have trials because you come, you hear the word of God, you're regular, you're faithful, you're a good tither, you worship and whatever. That doesn't stop the devil from coming to you. He's going to come to you anyway, but I want to tell you one thing. You can make a choice. You have a choice. You don't have to be overcome. You can be the overcomer. Is that right? See, people get saved. Many people get saved and they don't really understand what happens. You say, well, what do you mean they don't understand what happens? Well, they go over in Romans 10. You go over in Romans 10 And you go over in Romans 10, and you read in the scriptures 9 and 10, it's if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. Well, we believe that, but that's where some people stop. That's where it just begins, folks. We don't stop at Romans 9 and 10. We don't stop there. That's just the beginning place. If we confess with our mouth and believe with our heart, we shall be saved. Well, sure, we're saved. We're ready to go to heaven. But see, many people never make Him Lord of their life. Being saved and making Him Lord of your life is a big difference. Because then, if you make Him Lord of your life, He becomes everything to you. You don't do anything. You don't do anything without first going through your Lord. Your Lord will help you if you make Him Lord of your life. But if you hadn't made Him Lord of your life, then you're going to go your own way. You're going to do your own thing. And then when you need God, you're going to start calling on God. We don't call on God only when we need Him. We call on Him every day. Jeremiah says, "Call on me and I will answer." See, I don't like to wait till I get in trouble before I start talking to God. I like to talk to God all the time. Pastor Bob said, just pray in the Holy Ghost. Well, that's what I do a lot. I pray in the Holy Ghost a lot. So a lot of people, as I said, they get saved, but they don't know their authority. They don't know what they've been given. You know, a lot of people know, or they've read or heard or been to church, and they know Jesus was born in a manger in and they've heard about the virgin birth, and then they see how He was beat with a whip before He was crucified, how He was put on the cross, and He died and He rose. But that's what they know. They don't understand what I just said. Somebody said, well, how could you not understand that? I just heard you. No, there was people in the Old Testament and even in the life of Jesus that died and was raised up from the dead. So Jesus wasn't the only person that was raised up from the dead, but He was the only person that ever died spiritually, and God gave him his life back. So that's the difference that a lot of people don't know. They don't know that Jesus died and took on their sins. He who knew no sin, I'm going to have to slow down here. I'm going to preach in a minute. He who knew no sin became sin that you and I might become the righteousness of God. It's not my righteousness. I'm not worthy, but He made me worthy by going to the cross and paying for my sins, paying for your sins. So there, calm down. Come on down, calm down now. See, when I get just thinking about it. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, just thinking about it. You didn't do it right. Just thinking about it. Yeah, come on. Look at him and say, just thinking about it. Come on, you that are home, just say, just think about it. See, thinking about the fact that He was supernatural when He come into the world. Thinking about the fact of how He lived His life. Thinking about when He was on the cross, that He died spiritually and He died physically. Then He went into hell. Oh, I can see this. I can see it right now. Oh, my goodness, I can see it. Satan was having himself in a meeting. He was having himself a meeting, and he had called all his demons together. And can't you just see him? Can't you just see him? You know, the devil, you know, he's not ugly. He's not ugly at all. Some people paint the devil with a pitchfork. He's not ugly. He used to be the worship leader in heaven. He's nice looking. He's nice looking. And you know, but can't you just see him all decked out and had all them demons and cohorts around him? And he said, well, we did it. We did it. I did it. I did it. I did it. Jesus, we killed him. We killed him. We crucified him. We got rid of him. My enemy, I got rid of him. Can't you just behold that and see that? All this meeting going on and all the band members and the music was playing. And I mean, the grandiose stuff going on. I mean, it was just awesome. And the applause and the yells, hooray, devil, hooray, devil, hooray, Satan, hooray. They was just hooraying and carrying on. And all at once, there's a splash over on the other side of hell. There was something happening on the other side of hell. Somebody somebody started walking in, and it was Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great I Am, the lily of the valley, the bright and the morning star, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first and the last. Oh yes, as he walked in, all at once the band members started putting their bass down. They started putting their guitar down, the trumpets and the violin players, they all started putting them down, and everything started getting quiet and people started shaking. And all at once the devil saw who it was. The party was over. The party was over. Whoa! The party was over. No more party in hell, and there hadn't been any party in hell since. When Jesus walked in, he couldn't say, "Oh my God." He had to say, "Oh myself." But it didn't do him any good to say, "Oh myself," did it? Jesus reached over and took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He defeated Satan on his own territory. He took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And he gave us the keys. You and I have the keys of life through Jesus Christ. When Jesus rose up out of there, then his body came out. His spirit went back in his body. He come out of that grave, and that stone was so huge. I mean, the power, the anointing, everybody say the anointing. The anointing just moved that stone away, and Jesus come out of that tomb. They walked in and they looked, and there was nobody in the tomb. He's not dead, my friends. Jesus is not dead. He's not a baby in the manger. He's not on the cross. He's not in the tomb. But he's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and me today. Now, I didn't just tell you a story. I told you what happened. And see, most Christians, why they get discouraged, and why they can't overcome their trials, is they don't know what I just said. This is all in the Bible. Amen? This is all in the Bible. Now look, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 in the Amplified Bible, he said, "Be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind, be vigilant, cautious at all times. For the enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion." Didn't say he was a lion, said he roams around like a lion. "In fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour." Well, you know, when we get up in the mornings, whoever we are, whoever you are, when we get up in the morning, he's walking around. He's looking. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians, it says, "Give no place to the devil." That word "place" there means room. So don't give him any room. Give no place to the devil, so don't give him any room. So in the morning, start out right. Look at your neighbor and say, "Start out right." Oh, help me out here a little bit. Come on. Start out right. There you go. There you go. Start out right. Start out right. Give no room. Give no room. There's no place for you, buddy. You can roam all you want to roam, but there's no empty spot here. See, that's why he gets in a lot of times, because there's empty spaces in there and it's not full. So Satan just comes in and he just aggravates or bothers you. You know, I had a real well-known person who's a great friend, very well-known person, called me Friday and talked to me over an hour and was telling me about an attack that Satan did to them. And they didn't use this term as mine. It was the worstest week of their life. They let it be the worstest week of their life. Now, you that didn't hear me, I know how to say better. If you just come on later. It was the worstest week of their life. And they just went on and went on. I said, I thought you called me to get a word, to get some help. I said, you've been talking for an hour about all that's going on. I said, you've been living in this mess for a week. I said, all it is somebody said something crazy about you and they attacked your character. But, I said, that's what Billy Goats do. Billy Goats goes around butting all the time. I said, don't be using that to me. You're a child of God. You're a preacher of righteousness. You're a faith person. Dig a hole. Bury that thing. No, that's not what I said. I said, bury that damnable thing. I said, that's a damnable thing from hell. So dig that hole, bury it, and get up and do what you're called to do. Get up and do what you do. I said, you've let a week of your life, of your ministry, be robbed because you've been wallowing in this for a week. So you see, it doesn't matter you come to church here and you're here, but I'm preaching this to you because God gave it to me. It's been going over, and here was a great faith person that called me. I mean, a good person. I'm not condemning them. They just gave room. They gave room. See, when you get room, he just weaves himself in bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And the more you give him room, the bigger and bigger it is. The more you think on the wrong things and the more you act on the wrong things, the more you talk on the wrong things. I'm not above giving in sometimes, but mine don't last long. I'll tell you that one thing right now. I've determined what I preach is what I believe, and what I believe is what I preach. What I live is what I preach, and what I preach is what I live. Now, verse 9 says, withstand him. In other words, do something. You do something. God's give you power. He's give you authority. We got our authority back. I just told you, he's given you the keys to the kingdom. He's given you the keys to the kingdom. The devil doesn't have them anymore. Did you hear what I just said? Do I need to repeat that? David, maybe you need. David, you may come up here and tell them that we have the keys. We have the keys. Did you hear me? David, come up here. Come up here real quick, David. Whoa. Whoa. Tell them they got the keys.
You got the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. Telling you, the devil can't take anything from you that you can't take back. He can't take anything from anybody else that you don't have the authority and the word to take back.
Come
praise
on.
God. You have the authority in your hands. You have the anointing in your hands.
Come
to
on.
Go and take everything the devil has ever taken from you.
Come on.
Hallelujah. They have the keys, Pastor Don. You have the keys to death, hell, and the grave. The devil can't take anything, can't keep anything.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Give him a hallelujah. Give him a hallelujah, would you? Thank you, David. See, he believes that. He didn't come and say it just because I asked him to. Now, I asked him to, and he did it for that reason. But he believes what I've just asked him to say. See, you have the keys. Everybody just stand up and say, I've got the keys. Come on. I've got the keys. Come on, say, I've got the keys. I've got the keys. My heart is full. No room for the enemy. No room for the enemy. My heart is full. It's full. My head's anointed. My cup is full. It's running over. Goodness and mercy's with me. And I'm going to dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. Okay, you can be seated. Woo. Come on, somebody get happy with me. Somebody get happy with me. I know it's Sunday. It's been a long day. And You know, we're going to go be going home to bed in a little while, but come on, let's get riled up in the Holy Ghost. Let's get fired up let's get that fresh fire that Tom was singing about. Ain't no grave going to hold my body down. Woo, glory to God. You know, I know if I go before Jesus comes, I know that's just a temporary resting place for this old body, but my spirit goes directly to God. Folks, I ain't never going to die. That's not good grammar, but I'll say it again. I ain't never going to die. He lives in me, and so I'm going to walk with Him. Why do I want to walk and listen to the devil when he's got no good news? He's got nothing to say. You know, when I was young, I had this rock and roller that got saved, and it was even before it was popular. He wore his guitar down there, and he sang this song he wrote. He said, "I ain't got no sad song to sing and no pity bell to ring." He's alive in you, folks. Everybody say, "He's alive in me." Now, I'll go back and try to preach again if I can. Withstand him. Withstand him. In other words, Jesus said, "Go ahead." Peter said, "You can do it. Go ahead. You've been given the power. You've been given the authority." But see, people don't understand. Many people don't understand. See, just like you go out every day witnessing. And those people really need Jesus. And why does Pastor Bob and the people here, the team that's a part of that team, why do they go bust them and bring them in here? Why do they bust them and bring them in here? Because they need to hear what I'm talking about tonight so they can get something on the inside of them that they won't go back to that old lifestyle. See, if people have been born and raised up in a lifestyle of dysfunction, total dysfunction. I mean, total dysfunction, you know. And when they've lived that, and maybe drugs and alcohol and perversion of all kinds, when people have been raised in all of this, they don't understand the other side. But when you give them the gospel, they hear good news. So Pastor Bob, the team, the buses, everybody that's involved, goes and brings them in to hear the word. If one gets saved, how many? What's the number today since you guys been doing this? 300,000? How much?
98,900.
Of this year?
Since September 20th of 2012.
98,000. 98,000 and something people have prayed the prayer of salvation. Isn't that something? There it is. 98,912 have prayed the prayer of salvation since September of 2012. Well, if you just got one of them that stayed, I said, if you just got one of them that made the grade, that really come out of darkness and that got their feet on the foundation and let Jesus fill their heart. If there was only one, I know there's been many, but I'm just saying, if there's one, it's worth all the effort to keep one soul out of hell. Now that deserved more than you're doing right now. See, one soul, you can't put a price on it. You have to look and see Jesus, look at the price he paid. And if it was only that one, if it was only one, Jesus would have done it for that one. Wow. Be firm, withstand him, be firm in faith against the onset. Now notice, rooted, established, strong immovable, determined, knowing that the same identical sufferings are appointed to your brotherhood, the whole body of Christians throughout the world. In other words, what Peter said there, he said, throughout the world, Satan is going around trying to do this to every member in the body of Christ. He's trying to get in and find room where he can keep you from walking in faith and living the life that God has in store for you. Now, there's six things in that verse of Scripture that I saw that I could probably have a six-point series message out of that one Scripture. And the number one there, it says, be rooted. Be rooted. Everybody say, be rooted. In other words, be rooted or have a good foundation. This is where many people miss the mark. They never get a good foundation. See, that's why Bible school here at the church is important. Did you understand Pastor Bob doesn't have the Bible school just to have a Bible school? But so many principles from God's Word are taught in Bible school for people to learn more about getting their foundation and their roots deep into the Word of God so that when Satan comes, they withstand him. They're rooted in him. See, when you're rooted in God, when you're rooted in him, that means you know him. See, many people don't pursue a relationship with God. They pray the prayer of salvation, but they don't pursue the relationship. See, pursue him every day. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you, but I'll go with you to the end. Now, when you're rooted and grounded in the Word of God, it's not going to stop trials. It won't stop trials from coming. But because you're on a good foundation, you've got something to stand on. You can withstand. But now, it takes time to get rooted. It takes time to get rooted. Being rooted doesn't come overnight. You know, I in my office of where I spend a lot of time, spend a lot of time in my office at home, and outside my office, I got there's two oak trees out in my yard, and there's some rose bushes, and then there's some I don't know the names of the different plants, and then there's some flowers. Well, one of the things that I've really done is made sure they're rooted good. And you know, I always love springtime. I was watching spring real closely. Those old oak trees, it's there. The limbs was bare. But when those roots started becoming active and they were taken from the minerals of the soil, they were drawing that water and they were drawing that minerals. And it started up that from the roots of that tree. And when it got up to the branches, little blooms, little buds started coming. The roots started producing fruits. Your roots produce your fruits. You want good fruit? You have good roots. Bad roots, bad fruits. I want to tell you something. The plant does not support the root. The root supports the plant. So what are you rooted in, see? What are you built on? What is your foundation? I love Jeremiah 17, verses 7, 8. Again, this is the Amplified Bible. Blessed is the man who believes in and trusts in, relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confidence is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters that spreads out its roots by the river, and it shall not see fear when heat comes, but its leaves shall be green. It shall not be anxious and full of care in the year of drought, and it shall not cease yielding fruit. You know, Jeremiah was expounding off of what David said in Psalms chapter 1 when he said, you shall be like a tree that's planted by the waters and its leaf will always be green. So in other words, what did Jeremiah say about that tree? He said the tree was planted by the waters, and so the roots of the tree went to the water. The roots was growing deep to find the water. And so that water began to come, and when drought was on, the tree was standing with its leaves green. When the heat, he said, and it shall not fear when heat comes, but its leaves shall be green. See, when we walk around as Christians and believers, when we walk around, we don't have to walk around cocky and proud, but we walk around fresh. We walk around, we got life. People say, did you see that person? I mean, in the worstest of times, did you see that person? When bad things are going on, did you see how they smiled? Did you see how kind they were? Did you see how loving they were? Did you see how good they were? See, they are an example. We are to be an example of life, not death. We're not to be like the world. Come out from among the world. What fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What fellowship has light with darkness? So therefore, we are to stand out. We're not to be the guy that's to be put under the blanket. We're not to the guy that's to be pushed to the back. We're the man, the woman that's to stand on the forefront. And when we walk, the whole world knows who we are because we're the righteousness of God in Christ. Come on, somebody understand what I'm saying tonight. See, but if we're not rooted and grounded, when the enemy comes in like a flood, we get up and we go to work and people say something to us and we're just, oh, they're having a bad day. No, the worstest of times. In the worstest of times, when you walk in, people say, how can they hold their head up? How can they be, how can they do that? We are to be the ones that's throwing the bait out there. We're to be catching fish all day long because we got something good to offer. But if we are just like the world, if we're just like the world in our attitudes, our actions, our demeanor, our character, then we have nothing to offer. See, every day when we get up, things are to be different. You know, I remember a couple of years ago, my wife and I were riding down the road, and there was a couple of kids in our car. And as we were riding along, we were talking, and they'd spent several days with us, these couple of children, I think 3 or 4 days. And so we had quite a few road trips in the area, in the city. And finally, the little boy spoke up and he said, y'all are not arguing. Why aren't y'all arguing? Why aren't y'all yelling? I 1,000 what? So every time we get in the car, you're not yelling, you're not making noises, you're not mad, you're not saying ugly things to each other. I thought, wonder where they saw that. So they told me what their mama and daddy did. And their mama and daddy are Christians. You see, folks, you see what I'm talking about? Then people wonder, how come I can't overcome trials? How come I have so many? Many times it's because we're not rooted. We're not grounded. Sometimes I want to shoot my mouth off. Sometimes my emotion. But you know, I've learned that if I speak emotionally, I've left God behind. So if I create a problem, I can't get him to go in there and fix it if I've let my emotions outweigh what I know is right. See, rooted means that you've got a foundation. You've got something that you're drawing from. Remember, that root that goes deep into the ground, or whether it's a flower, whether it's the shrubs out in my yard. You know, I got a couple of guys that come by my house. I've known these guys for a long time, and they come by my house once a week. And they said, Pastor, we don't want to charge you. They don't go to my church. They used to. they don't go to my church. But they said, we just want to come by, and we want to be nice to you, and we want to look after your shrubs and your trees and stuff, because that's what they do. They're experts in that field. And every now and then, if I'm home, I look outside and may say hello to them, and they're putting fertilizer out, going and looking, make sure nothing's disturbing the roots of the flowers and the plants and the bushes. And one of my trees, they worked on that tree so much that they got the roots so strong. That tree is incredible. That tree is incredible. Amen. You know, years ago, listen to this story. Years ago, when we lived in Tennessee, a friend of ours came over and he said, you know, would you like to have a peach tree? I said, well, I guess. He said, no, seriously, I've got one. I'll bring you if you want a peach tree in your backyard. And I said, well, I guess. So he brought it over and he dug the hole and put the tree in the ground. And, you know, he told me what to do. He said, now, we don't want to disturb these roots in the transplant. We want to keep these roots really good. I said, okay, I understand. And so that was the fall of the year. And when the spring came, man, that tree started budding. I mean, there was peach blooms everywhere. I mean, I was a happy camper. I was smiling from ear to ear. I called him up, and I said to him, man, the tree is everywhere. It's got blooms all over it. He said, well, Don, go out there and pinch every one of them off. I said, I'm not going to do no such a thing. He said, yeah. Go out there and pinch them all off. I said, they're too pretty. They're going to bring me peaches. If I pinch them off, there won't be any peaches. He said, that's the point. We don't want that tree to bear this year. I said, I do. He said, no. He said, you can do it if you want to. It's your tree. None of my business. It's your tree. But he said, I'm trying to help you. I said, okay, what'd I do? I went out there and I got my sons, we pinched all the blooms off of that tree, got me a little ladder, and we pinched them all off. I was just heart sick. My tree, I'm not going to have peaches this year. He said, the reason why you do that, if you let that tree bear fruit, it won't have good fruit. It won't be the kind of peaches you want. He said, and all the energy of the tree will go to produce the fruit, rather than to produce the roots. You want the roots to grow strong. So if you'll let it not produce this year, the roots of the tree will grow strong, and then the peaches next year will be luscious, delicious peaches. As long as we lived there, every year, the tree got bigger and bigger, and the peaches was absolutely just so juicy and wonderful and sweet and tasty. And I went by there not too long ago when we were visiting, and it's a big old peach tree now. And the people that bought our property there, they pruned the tree and everything, told me, said, well, this is the best peaches in the whole area. Don't you want people saying that about you? You're the best in the whole area. You just got such good roots that when the trials and the temptations comes and when the enemy comes, you're bearing good fruit. Amen. I love it. You shall not see fear. It shall not see fear when the heat comes. But its leaf shall be green. It shall not be anxious and full of care in the year of drought. Nor shall it cease yielding fruit. Let me ask again, how deep is your roots? How deep are your roots? As I want to say again, the root system is the anchor. It's the anchor for you and me. Now, I'm not going to criticize anybody that's not here tonight. That's not the point. But many people don't feel like they need Sunday night. I'm not critical. I'm just saying. Just saying as people. Neff said. But I like to be in church lots. Not because I'm a preacher. See, David, I really appreciate you. You're an evangelist. And just because you're not preaching and when you're not out on the road, you're in church. Hallelujah. Give him a hallelujah, would you? See, when we were on the road traveling, before we started our church, on Sunday morning, I came here to church if I wasn't preaching out somewhere. I was sitting on the pew. My wife, if I was away and she didn't go on the trip with me, she was right here in church. See, I believe preachers that are evangelists, I believe they need to come and be in church just like anybody else. See, church is, this is not religion. This is allowing our roots to become strong so that when the enemy comes, we can withstand him. See, the growth and the branches of plant will only be as healthy as the roots are, strong and deep. Now, not too long ago, I was here and I was talking about the palm tree. I won't go back into the palm tree. And I really, because the Bible talks about the palm tree and it says, In our old age, we'll be like the palm tree. And every part of the palm tree is useful. Did you know that? Every part of it. I won't go into it. But one thing about the palm tree, the roots of the palm tree can go to where the water is and there can be droughts on and all the other trees will be dying, but the palm tree will be living through the drought. And God refers. The Word of God compares the palm tree and you. It compares us and it says we can be like the palm tree. So folks, when I read about the tree in the Bible, when I read about the roots in the Bible of a plant, God's talking about you and me to be rooted and grounded in love. So when we're rooted and grounded in love and someone else doesn't love us and someone else treats us wrong and someone else assassinates our character and somebody says something wrong, instead of us getting all upset. In another, one day I was at my computer and a little thing popped up and this guy said, he calls me Dad. He said, Dad, I want you to read this or watch this video and see what you think. Well, somebody had assassinated his character. And he had 10 people on the platform and they were going through and they were confirming his credibility. And so a little while later, he sent me a thing back, and he said, Dad, what'd you think? I said, why did you waste my time? Looking at this video wasted my time. He said, Dad, what do you mean I wasted your time? He said, people assassinated my character. I said, so? They assassinated Jesus' character and he said nothing. I said, he said nothing. But Dad, I mean, he's got a big ministry. Got a big ministry. Owns a television station. All over the world he's broadcasting. I said, why do you want to defend yourself? People that believe in you, and the people that don't. I said, I didn't even know about this dumb stuff till you told me. I said, you're trying to mess up my day. I'm not letting you in my day. I said, don't you ever send me something like this again. And if you waste your time like that, don't you ever call me Dad again. Don't you ever call me Dad again if you're going to have a video and going to take a whole service of 2 hours proving your character and these people on the platform saying stuff about you. Let God be your defense. Let the Word of God be your defense. Just heal the sick, cast out devils, live for God, overcome your trials, don't fall into temptation, and let Jesus be Lord. Well, somebody say, thank you, Jesus. I had 6 points and only got one of them. Well, let me close. Get to know God for yourself. Get to know God for yourself. And let him give you the revelation of what I talked about at the beginning, of who you are in Christ. See, when you get the revelation of who you are in Christ, see, there was 7 words. One of the words was established. Established would be another point. I'll give it to you now, but I'm just going to quickly go into the close here. Establish means secure. It means righteousness. You're established in righteousness. So when this guy that calls me Dad sent me this video of proving his character through all these people, I said, let God prove who you are. Let every man be a liar, but let God be true. Be established. I said, if you're established, I said, son, if you're established in righteousness, I said, I'm not going to say it doesn't hurt you when someone assassinates your character, just like the other person I told you about a few minutes ago that lived in it for a week and was trying to get all of this stuff straight where their character, you know, once it goes out, it's gone. You can't get it back. My wife told me about a story of somebody that had a bunch of feathers. I'm sure many of you have heard the story. And was walking with the feathers and they started getting them. Well, they told them to go back and get them. Well, you couldn't get them because the wind had already blown them away. See, here it was. I said, I hadn't even heard this garbage. I had to listen to stuff for over an hour of garbage. He said, that wasn't garbage. They were saying good things about me. I said, well, you don't need to put on a program to have people say stuff about you. Let God put on the program. Amen. Now, here's my thought in closing. When I said, be established and know God for yourself. I know this man. I know his character. I've been privileged to be close up, and everybody doesn't have the same privilege that I do that way. But I've watched him operate the business of this church for a number of years. Had the privilege to see how a lot of the money's spent, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I know the man. But if I wasn't that close, I still know he stands for righteousness. He is the righteousness of God. Now what puzzles me as a pastor, as a minister of the gospel, I'm standing here talking to all of you, and I love you all, and you that are home viewing or wherever, how people come into a fellowship and they get acquainted in that fellowship because there is a minister of the gospel that's bringing the word to help them get rooted. But many times they get more rooted in a relationship than they do in their church. They get more rooted with a relationship that they met at a church. And when they get rooted, no matter what the pastor says, no matter what the word says, see, they're rooted in the relationship instead of the word of God. So when this one shows their back end, does something they shouldn't do, acts unchristian and walks away and blames the pastor, then they get up and go with them. Now you're not yelling on me. You're not standing up and shouting on me right now. Now, I'm not on to nobody. I don't have anything in mind, and I appreciate you being here. I'm just wanting you to overcome trials because that is a trial. Whose report are you going to believe? Whose report are you going to believe? No, there ain't no buts. Remember, that's the billy goat. Yeah, there you go. That's good. That's good. Can you do that again? Yeah. See, that's what some Christians are just like. Do it again, son. That's what some Christians are like. See, overcoming trials, I hope I've partially painted the picture to you because I didn't get to finish, but if you're established in righteousness, it's good to have the right relationships. We preach that. The Word encourages that. But don't be more rooted in a relationship than you are the Word of God. And if somebody else decides that they're going to get offended and they're going to walk away, don't get pulled into their offense. If you're established and you're rooted in the Word of God, you won't do it. And then if you shouldn't try to pull somebody in your offense yourself. This is good preaching, even if it is Don Clowers doing it. I hope somebody got blessed tonight. Maybe I should have called this message being rooted. Being established. Being established. So when somebody changes their mind, you don't change your mind. You got fed, you got blessed, you got ministered to, and you got help. But just because somebody else got offended, then all at once, we're going to follow the offense. Did you know people follow offenses rather than follow the Word of God? So the next time somebody comes to you and starts telling you something about something somewhere, the best thing you can do is say, You need to get healed from your offense, and I'm not getting in there, and I'm staying rooted and grounded right where I am. I'm not coming off my rock. I'm not coming off my foundation. I'm going to bloom where I'm planted, and as I bloom where I'm planted, my roots are growing deep, and I've had enough of the word coming up through my roots that has gotten me where I'm at right now, so I'm not going to leave where I am because it's helped me to stand strong and overcome, so I'm not going to follow you. I'm not going to go where you want to go. You go do your thing, but I'm going to do what God's called me to do. Now, somebody stand on your feet and let's give Jesus a hand clap of praise. Woo. Oh, glory to God. Come on, let's make a joyful noise to the Lord. Amen. Come on now, I want you to just take the person's hand closest to you and let's just pray in the Holy Ghost right now. Would you? Let's just pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on, let's just pray in the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's just thank Him. Let's just thank Him. Let's just thank Him right now. Let's just thank Him. Let's just thank Him. Let's just thank Him. Okay, now, just pray low. If there's anybody in this room tonight, and you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, you've never made Jesus Lord of your life. Maybe somewhere you prayed the prayer, but you've never made Jesus Lord. Maybe somewhere you prayed the prayer and you become weary and you overcome with trials and you let things get you down because you didn't get rooted. You want me to pray with you tonight? I want to pray with you. But a soul is important. And it's necessary. Even somebody that's watching, there may be people that's watching that's never been born again, or maybe you did commit your life to God, but you've gone back and mixed in with the world. Tonight, pray the prayer. Is there anybody here say, Pastor Don, I'm not right with God. My relationship is broken, and I need you to pray a prayer with me tonight. Is anybody in the room? Anybody in the room? I want to give you a moment to think about it. Is anybody in the room and you want your relationship? You know it's broken. And you want that relationship fixed. You know, I remember Charlie telling his story so much. Don't ever stop telling this story, Charlie. He was broken. He was messed up on the inside. R.W. Shambaugh was preaching on the radio, if I remember correctly. Put his head over the steering wheel to give his life to Jesus. May not have been exactly in that particular sequence, but he gave his life to Jesus. And look at him here today. That man that was broken, he was rooted in the things of the world, rooted in the wrong things, but he heard a good word. He heard a live word. He had fresh fire that came to him. He gave his life to Jesus, and he got this beautiful wife many years. Been in this church for many years. God's anointed him to do the work in this ministry here. You never know. You never know. So it's always good to give the opportunity. I want us, just for the people that's home, you know, I never know, you know, the Lord has just blessed our little internet broadcast, and we're literally having thousands of people watch our internet broadcast. I looked the other day, and they sent us a graph of where people in Egypt are watching our broadcast. People in Sweden, people in Russia, people in the Ukraine, people in Moldova, people in New Zealand. I've never been to New Zealand in my life, one of the countries I've never been to. And I looked at the numbers in New Zealand, and they're getting bigger every week. Australia, India. I mean, just thousands of people are watching our broadcast because I'm preaching and giving good news. Good news. Amen. So if anybody's watching and you're not right with God, if you're not right with God, let's all pray this prayer together. Dear Lord, I come to you now. I surrender. I give you my heart. I give you my life. Now I take your strength. I receive your love. Help me to build a strong and healthy foundation. Let my roots grow deep into you. I want to make sure, Lord, that my relationship is right and strong. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and healing me and delivering me. Amen. Amen. Does anybody need hands laid on them for anything tonight? Does anybody? Anybody need hands laid on you for anything? If you do, I want you to come down here right now and I'll lay hands on you. Anybody need hands laid on you? The Bible said they shall lay hands on the sick. So if anybody needs hands laid on you, I want to take this opportunity that the Lord has given me to minister to you and lay hands on you. So if you need me to pray with you and lay hands on you, come quickly now out of your seat and stand here. And you that are home, I want us to, you know, I've realized this home audience is important. You know, a woman sent me an email and she said, I heard you back when you were a tent evangelist. Our life was changed when you were a tent evangelist. But things got difficult and we got out of church and we lost our way. And our children was going in the world. But one night late, my phone went off and I looked and there was and I don't know how it happened, just to be honest. I have no clue how it happened. She said, on my phone, there was a link. And she said, I clicked that link and it was your broadcast. And I started watching you. And she said, I've surrendered my life. My husband surrendered his life. We've come back to God. My son was in jail. He's out of jail. Now we're all back in church. But it's all because you encouraged us to get back in church. I listened to you. So, you that's watching at home, God cares just as much about you as anyone in this building. And these that have come down here, I'll tell you, anybody else? Anybody else? All right, you can be seated, but just worship the Lord with me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'll tell you, I don't know about you, but I sense the anointing of the Holy Ghost in this room tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I just believe that we're not just doing something to be doing something, but I believe your word said to lay hands on people. And I impart now. I impart now. Right now, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. New strength. New strength. Greater joy, greater power, greater anointing. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, God. Oh, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. I thank you, I thank you.
His word is true.
I thank you. I impart. I impart now. I am part now. I am part now. Now. I give new life. Fresh fire. Fresh fire. Fresh fire. Fresh fire. Fresh fire. Fresh, fresh, fresh fire. Fresh fire. Fresh. Fresh in the name of Jesus. Encouragement. Encouragement. Strength. Encouragement and strength. Encouragement and strength. Encouragement. 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 Encouragement and strength. Oh, yes. Encouragement. Encouragement. Encouragement and strength. There it is. Just receive it. Receive it.
You will always
receive it right now, my sister.
I will too.
Oh, this is your night for the yoke to be destroyed. Yes, it is. Yes, 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 yes. Just let those roots just be draw from the well, from the river. Come on, stick those roots way down deep. Let those roots just grab hold of the minerals and the joy and the peace, the goodness of God. I impart to you now. I impart to you now. I impart. Brother Dan, I just impart to you now. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for this impartation. Strength. 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 Mighty, mighty. Fresh. Fresh, let fresh fire come. Let fresh fire come. Fresh, 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 fresh. Fresh, 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 fresh. Oh, tell them you're going to do fresh fire. You're going to do fresh fire.
Fire, making me pure within.
fire.
What you hear though?
Burning away all my sin. Unquenchable fire from the Lord. How my heart cries to know you deep inside. The yearning that I have just to be real. Now you come to me and your spirit set me free. You've given me this fire that I feel. Fresh fire burning inside.
Everybody stand up and let's just worship. Come on, everybody stand up. Let's just worship for a moment. Fresh fire.
Here in the presence of God.
Whoa.
Unquenchable fire,
yeah,
from the Lord. How my heart's bright to know you deep inside. The yearning that I have just to be real. Oh, but now your spirit set me free. You've given me this love.
Let it flow.
Fresh fire.